live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. And if you find yourself getting outside the range of our AM FM capability here at WVNN, just remember you can always go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Just click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is. Well, listen, I want to go to the phones right now and talk to someone who's been on the show several times with us. Casey Wardinsky is currently running for Congress for the seat being vacated by Mo Brooks at Congressional District 5. And it's Veterans Day, and I thought this was fitting to have someone come on who had a military perspective. You may recall that Casey Wardinsky, Dr. Wardinsky, Colonel Wardinsky, has his Bachelor of Science degree from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, among other degrees that he holds. He served 30 years in the U.S. military, retiring with the rank of colonel. He also went on to serve the Trump administration as the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Manpower and Reserve Affairs, aside from the fact that we know him here in Huntsville as the former Huntsville City Schools superintendent. So with that being said, let me just welcome Casey Wardinsky to the show. Casey, how are you today?
Very good, Phil. Thanks for inviting me on.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for being here. And hey, listen, it is Veterans Day. I wanted to spend some time just on that, but let me ask you, because I spent some time in my monologue at the beginning of the show talking about watching my family, the generations of my family who had served, and how that was a part of who I am and why I got in the military. I never have asked you, I don't think, what prompted you to seek an appointment to West Point and to pursue a career in the Army? Where did that come from?
You know, from early age, I was interested in the Army and military things. I got to do second grade twice, and thanks to my third grade teacher, she figured out what I was interested in. It was military history. And so from that early age, it kind of guided my life and was very interested in military service, ultimately the Army, and went to West Point. And, of course, that sort of cemented the beginning of a military career. And like all of us, you know, there were days in the Army when we were thinking about doing something else because it hadn't been a great day. But ultimately, the good days way outnumbered the bad, and I was there for 30 years. And I think, it was the people you work with. They're very focused people. They're honorable. They think about things other than just themselves. They're very worried about their country. And all those things were appealing to me. And met a lot of great leaders along the way. And at every turn, it was a great leader that kind of kept me in the Army. And before you knew it, it was 30 years.
Yeah. It's amazing how 30 years goes by. And then you look back and realize, holy cow,
how old
am I now?
It's quick. At West Point, you spend 4 years kind of going into a tunnel. And the joke there is that it takes 5 years to get back out because that's your service obligation. But those first 5 years led me to the next 25. And West Point gave a great foundation, as does ROTC and the other commissioning sources, to kind of leaven the institution and help make the Army better.
Now, you've served, I'm sure, under some significant commanders, maybe even some names that we are familiar with. Anybody stand out in your mind as someone along your way, along the career path that you were in, that those of us who may not have been there still would recognize the name?
Some of them were, perhaps you'd recognize the names. One was General Maud. He was a three-star general. He was the senior guy killed on 9/11. He was my boss the day he left this earth. Some other guys would have been General Sullivan. He was chief of staff of the Army.
Oh, yeah.
He made a big difference in the Army, I thought.
Yeah.
General Stroop, most people outside the personnel world might not know him, but he was a three-star. He ran the personnel part of the Army back in the sort of the drawdown era, 1995-97 period. He had a big impact on how I thought about building an Army and the jobs I had subsequently. Of course, then there's the heroes we all know, Eisenhower, Patton, those guys, Grant. They have a big impact on how you think about an Army officer and what an Army officer ought to be.
I still remember when I was a young lieutenant, my dad was doing defense contracting in the Pentagon, and he was working on Star Wars, and so he was in and out of the Pentagon daily as a defense contractor. But I went up there for a visit one day in D.C., and he said, come on, son, I want you to meet somebody. Well, this is classic dad. He just started walking through the halls of the Pentagon, me just following, saying, where are we going, Dad? You'll see in a minute. And next thing I know, we're walking into the office of the Vice Chief of Staff of the Army. It was General Brown, who had been Captain Brown, my dad's ROTC instructor, many, many years prior to that. So funny how you find it. You run into people along the way your career keeps reconnecting you with?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I was in the Pentagon most recently, assistant secretary, my military assistant had worked with me back when I was a colonel. My executive officer, I had taught her back in 94, and she was now a colonel. And I think three or four other folks I'd worked with along my way that were helping me in the office. And then my special assistant had been a colonel, and now he was a SES level 3. He'd been like my mentor when I was a colonel. And so it's great to see these great people again, and it really builds a lot of trust and confidence in the direction the organization's taking.
Well, just if you want to take a minute here, just reflect on the fact that this is Veterans Day, if you would, because you've had a career where you've seen people come and go, and I'm sure you've seen people who have been changed by their service, whether it be in the war zone or, for that matter, in the peacetime. But give me your thoughts, because I know you did a piece recently on another network. I'd just like to give you a chance just to vocalize that for a second.
Sure. Well, you know, this is an important day. Many civilians get it confused with Memorial Day. Memorial Day is for the military folks that have left this earth. Veterans Day is really for the ones that are here, whatever war they were in and whatever time frame they were in. And it's to recognize the sacrifices folks make when they serve. Civilians may not know it, but they have an entirely separate legal system for the military. The same freedoms that are afforded to civilians, not all of them pertain when you're in the military. You have a narrowly constrained set of freedoms because of good order and discipline the military requires. And you live somewhat apart. The installations are often far away from many urban centers in our country. You live overseas. You're away from your family a lot. And of course, then some face the dangers of combat or dangers of training that can be, you know, hazardous at times too. And we recognize that because these people ultimately are what stands between us and the adversaries of freedom, our enemies who would change the way we have to live. Mostly we've been focused on the foreign enemies. Here recently, you know, what drew me to running for office, and I see many other veterans running for office now, I think, is the threats from within the country to freedom, the petty tyrants, the permanent bureaucrats in Washington, and the overreach of the federal government. And I think, you know, our oath was enemies foreign and domestic. And some of these folks inside the country are now looking like a threat to the Bill of Rights and things we thought we were defending from foreign enemies. And on Veterans Day, you know, it's important to remember why we fought and what we defended and to keep faith with those things. And they go back to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, really.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. So in about the 2 to 3 minutes we have left, and if you make it to D.C. and, you know, best of luck to you as you go forward this primary. I think you're certainly you're in a catbird seat right now for the race. What is it you think you bring to the table that the other candidates in your race don't, by virtue of the fact that you have this 30-year career of military service? What distinguishes that career into the next one you're looking for in D.C.?
Well, Phil, certainly the military career is important. Alabama's got a big military presence. The Defense Department's got a big impact on our economy. And understanding that inside and out, it's important to make sure we get the biggest bang for the buck out of a defense dollar while we're very prudent about how many dollars we spend. But the other aspects, you know, superintendent, right now, critical race theory and education issues are way up the list. In Virginia, they were at the top, perhaps. And I know what Department of Education does, and it's not much. It's a very top-down system that intrudes on local education and distorts it. Alabama's got 44 school systems under federal control, desegregation orders. Mine was one of them here in Huntsville. That's a straitjacket around our state. I think we have more than any other state. We got to do something about that. That can't go on forever. Economics, I was the Army's chief economist. Certainly inflation and the economic situation is deteriorating rapidly. And these things all interleave to have a big impact on our state. Understanding of the legislation before us, you know, the National Defense Authorization Act, I think, is a roadmap for where Biden and the leftists want to take our country. It has a few extra percent income for our military, but it's got all kinds of poison pills in it regarding culture and the way our military will be treated. And I think the Bidens want to extend that beyond the military. And this is just a test run and extend it into our communities. So all those areas, I feel like, you know, my life has kind of prepared me to go to Washington and do a good job for Alabama. a good job for America and bring balance back to our federal system in favor of the states and localities and reduce the influence of the federal government, which is far out of proportion, I think, now.
Well, Casey, we are up against a break, but I want to tell you first, before we head to the break, thank you for your time. Thank you for your service to our country. And we wish you the best of luck going forward in your race to serve in Congress. Casey Wardinski, thank you very much.
Thanks, Phil.
Superintendent of the Huntsville City Schools, graduate of the U.S. Army Military, or United States Military Academy at West Point, 30-year career in the military. He does bring a unique perspective, especially here on Veterans Day. All right, we'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.